to the bones and the marrow and the splitting of your soul. A video blogging RPF work with Fens and Marshes as Dream.
And Deirdre as George.
The moment Dream crosses the threshold of George's apartment, he feels wards gather around him like wires, sharp and electric. They don't sting, but it's a close thing. "Holy shit," he says, once the zinging of energy has subsided. "You've got some potency." George, seemingly nonplussed by the wards, of course they're his, has headed into a kitchen. Dream follows him to find George setting out a glass of water. If he hadn't already guessed George was probably a caster, this apartment would have left him with no doubt. Directed energy thrums around him, busy, like gathered bees.
"They're pretty basic,"
George responds, sounding remarkably nonchalant. When Dream glances towards him, though, his cheeks are dusted red and he refuses to meet Dream's eyes. He pours a second glass of water and shoves it towards him.
"Water?"
Dream picks it up and stares at it for a moment before downing it in one impulsive go.
"Holy shit,"
George says.
"I could have poisoned you in like 2 seconds.
Dream shrugs and slides the glass back towards him. "It was safe," he says, settling on one of the stools at the counter. "Didn't shimmer weirdly like the others."
"Maybe that was conditioning,"
George says nonsensically. He drums his fingers on the table, antsy.
"Before, when you were laughing, I wanted to compliment your reflexes with your glamour."
"Oh," Dream says, mildly startled. "Thanks? I wouldn't have caught yours either."
"If not for..."
George sounds genuinely anxious, and when Dream looks closer, he notices the strength with which George clutches his own glass. He looks tired, and his glamour gives a sudden, startling shiver, more insistent than any shifting Dream noticed before. He catches a glimpse of iridescent eyes before the nondescript brown clamps firmly back into place. Dream pauses for a moment before responding, fingers tapping on the back of his hand. "Are you all right?" he asks, instead of responding in the end. George blinks, then mutters petulantly,
"You don't get to ask questions before answering mine."
Truth be told, said question has already slipped Dream's mind. "Oh," he says, brain catching up. "I suspected because..." Here he falters, a little fearful of saying the words out loud. He's lost far too many friends from admitting the truth. "The air," he settles for in the end. "But I didn't know until you called me stupid." George blinks.
"The air?"
"Just leave it."
"Casters still operate under hospitality laws,"
George says, too lightly. "Well, I don't," Dream snaps. He does not want to have this conversation. "Listen, we need to... If the hunter situation's as bad here as you say, either our glamours need to be compatible or one of us is going to have to change." George's eyes are clever, analytical, but as he huffs a laugh, they crinkle at the edges.
"You make it sound like my glamour is a fancy dress."
"Of a sort," Dream snorts, glad George has let the topic drop.
"Well,"
George says, leaning forward onto the table. His eyes are shining brighter now, and his fingers twitch less and less. Dream is glad to see him relaxing, because it looks like he could use it. "Absolutely not for any other reason at all."
"I designed and sewed this fancy dress. So..."
"So you're saying one of us has to change and it's not going to be you?"
"Exactly."
Dream looks at him for a moment, then shrugs and leans back. "All right," he says. It's not like I put that much effort into this glamour." George splutters violently. Dream blinks at him. "Are you okay?"
"No,"
George squawks before clearing his throat.
"Yes, fine. Or, you know, if you didn't want to undo all the work you did put into looking like that.
George gestures.
You could just, like, I have rituals for compatibility.
Dream says dubiously, am I being propositioned?
No.
George snaps, huffy.
Like when Microsoft Word goes into compatibility mode.
I'd rather die than use Microsoft Word, Dream informs him. Seriously, if it's too much trouble, I can just rework this. It just might be an issue because the landlord's seen my face.
It's not the whole thing,
George says vaguely, waving a hand in the air.
Some bits and pieces. Like, here, I'll show you.
Dream, for a moment, has no idea what he means. Then he starts at the feeling of foreign. Is it really foreign, though? Now that he's entered their wards, made a space for himself in their cocoon of safety. Energy poking at his glamour.
Here.
George says, nudging against a swathe of energy that makes up Dream's height.
And here, and here.
Dream was only half paying attention, poking back curiously against the energy. At George's words, he snaps his eyes open. It's weirdly nice. His glamour is at once part of him and not part of him, created from his energy but separate from his power reserves, like the energetic equivalent of hair and... Actually, that was a lot like having his hair played with. Sorry, he says, blinking hard, trying to focus. That, is it weird if I say it felt good?
Have you never lived with another meta before?
George marvels, almost laughing. Dream keeps the hurt from his face, but shit, George still has mental fingers in his energy. George, kindly, doesn't say anything about it, but the previously neutral energy spreads soft and gentle over the sharp edges of Dream's glamour, and he drops his head to the table to hide his sudden blush. Not really, he mumbles into the wood. George hums and pats his head sympathetically.
No wonder you don't have basic self-preservation skills,
George says, and maybe Dream would be hurt if there weren't still soothing energy melting over his and a teasing tone in George's voice. I have some, Dream protests, lifting his head just a little. I take perfectly good care of myself.
You wanted to talk about glamours out in the hallway where anyone could have heard.
George snaps, and that slight edge is back to his tone. Dream feels the energy against his draw back, clipped and kept under tight control. George's entire energy signature is tight strung, which makes sense. Casters are known for their precision with energy, the control they have over it.
I've pointed out the bits that are fucking with my own, okay?
Wait, Dream says. That's all of them?
I could do one of the compatibility arrays to be certain,
George says.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh. It feels a little like Dream has stumbled over some rare treasure or ancient secret, but it's written in a language he can't read. I kind of thought there'd be more. George frowns and pokes him again. The energy stays formal and controlled, and Dream finds himself missing the soothing warmth from earlier.
Now that you mention it, I kind of expected there to be more too, but no, that's it.
Well, it's an easy fix then, Dream says, shrugging. He's already loosening the edges and connections, but gestures out towards the table anyways. Do you mind if I... George flushes bright red.
Sure, whatever.
Are you okay? Dream squints at him. George covers his face in his hands.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Dream says, shrugging. He closes his eyes because it's easier to sense his own energy like that, and also because he doesn't like the way he looks when his glamour's half-functioning, all human except for the few anomalous features that stick out like sore thumbs. One of the ones he has to unpick is the height trait, which is annoying. That's the part he hates most about constructing glamours. Squeezing himself down, trying to fit. Dream's concentration is broken by George's quiet but high-pitched.
What the fuck?
He blinks and opens his eyes, looking down towards George, who looks a little like he wants to faint. What? Dream asks, trying not to feel self-conscious about the way he knows his natural height drags at the rest of the glamour, all ungainly limbs and skin stretched too thin. His sleeves cover the spots on his arms that would be near translucent, and he's glad for it.
You're tall, what the fuck?
George says, sort of squeaking.
This is my natural height.
Dream tries not to let his grimace show. Embarrassment prickles through him like pins and needles. Just give me a minute, he snaps, defensive, and shuts his eyes again. It's easy, with George so close, to figure out the parts of his glamour that need to be rearranged so the two of them can fit together like tessellations. He tugs his energy into place, feeling himself shiver. Does that work? He offers, not opening his eyes in case he's fucked up something heinous and fundamental in his glamour, stumbling into the uncanny valley he's spent so long learning to avoid. There's a careful prodding of energy, and then it retreats again, and George clears his throat and says,
Yes, that works.
Sounding only a little strangled. Dream opens his eyes and blinks them a few times to get rid of the sandiness that always follows shifts in glamour. Yet another physical representation of his own loosely tethered energy. The air tasted like ozone, electric and sharp. That was what had tipped him off to George's casting. It seems to unsettle most matters, so he doesn't talk about it much. George squints at him, almost suspiciously.
Did you get even taller?
Did I? Dream can't tell. How tall was I before?
Tall,
George says.
Now you're taller. Tallest. Superlatively tall.
Like, too tall? Dream hedges cautiously. If he's completely overshot the realm of normal human height yet again, he'll be so mad about it. Conceivably so? George huffs another breath through his teeth.
No, it's fine. You just look like a normal guy,
he says, and it comes out slightly forced. Dream frowns.
An average human guy who happens to be very tall, but not so tall that anyone's going to look at you twice. It's fine. I'm shutting up now.
Dream takes a moment to process, and when it hits him, he can feel the way the grin spreads across his face, slow and sure. George, he says, leaning forward and resting his chin on his hands. Do you have a thing for this height? George hides his face with his hands, but it does nothing for the flush that burns up to his ears.
Shut up,
he says, voice muffled.
I'm going to kick you out of my apartment.
No, you're not, Dream says, trying and failing to hold back a laugh. George glares at him through his fingers.
You're a horrible person.
You think it's hot that my glamour is tall? My glamour!
Don't you lecture me on meta etiquette?
George grumbles petulantly.
You didn't even know it was going to feel nice when I messed with your energy.
Dream does a double take at that memory. He'd all but moved past it, but suddenly he has to fight to shake the sense memory of contact. He says. Yeah. Never mind. George looks up from his hands just to raise an eyebrow at Dream, which is rude of him.
We can do it again, you know, if you want.
Dream stares at him for a moment. What? He says, weakly. Something inside of him goes feral at the sheer thought. Okay, maybe he's a little lonely. And he grasps for the straws of logic and social etiquette and is that actually okay to do? George mistakes his silence for confusion.
The energy thing,
he explains half-heartedly, dropping his hands.
My friend, well, friend is a loose term, more like asshole I talk to on occasion. Well, he describes it as magic cuddling, if that makes sense.
I know what you meant, Dream says, still in the same tone. You can just do that?
I bet you're touch-starved, loser.
George shoots back. Dream is waiting for the contact of his energy again, crackling against Dream's glamour and reaching to his natural system beneath. But it doesn't come, as if George is waiting for permission. Fine, that sounds good, he manages. George looks like he's restraining a smile of his own, but has the mercy not to say anything. Instead, he rests his chin on his hands and reaches towards Dream with the neatly woven tendrils of his energy, searching. Dream has just enough composure to greet them. The places their energies touch, contact on the tips of needles, everywhere and nowhere all at once, almost burn in a cool, gentle way. It is ridiculous how nice it feels, and he thinks back to George calling him touch-starved, and also a loser, which definitely not true, and grudgingly admits, okay, maybe he has been lacking in meta company these past few years. Dream closes his eyes and relaxes into the seat, fully content to just melt into the wood and become a stain on George's floor. George is watching him, curious. Dream doesn't feel the need to speak. There's a tugging at one of his pulse points, a clump of energy that's virtually shouting, I'm here, I'm mutated, come see. Dream flinches instinctively, both mentally and physically, recoiling into the chair and shutting his glamour tight like a shield. Don't do that, he says stiffly. Please. George's attention, clearly, was with his meta side rather than the fake human body he's wearing. His eyes jolt open, startled.
Sorry,
he says.
What did I...
Don't, Dream repeats, and then, stung by the startled hurt in George's eyes, those aren't even his real eyes, adds, someday, just not yet. Sorry. George purses his lips, but Dream suspects it's more out of worry than genuine hurt. Something about the way the previously repelled energy moves closer, touches in more spots, carefully avoiding the spot, which Dream is infinitely thankful for, suggests it. It's nice, in a way. It solidifies someday, because Dream inexplicably trusts George. It's easy to relax, in the comfort of the wards that are clearly made to keep threats out, the wards that have decided Dream is not one. It's easy to want to tear down his carefully constructed walls.
Someday,
George echoes, and it sounds like a promise. The end. Thank you for listening.